There is so many things that are hid within the Word of God until it seems almost an impossibility to ever get enough of them over to the people to where they can really get their bearings. But the Lord gives us plenty of time. If we'll listen carefully, He'll make sure that we're able to understand. As you begin to get a continuity in your mind of the Scriptures and of the things of God, then it'll be more thrilling to walk on with Him. Now, I want to read just a little bit here in the book of Revelation, if you've got your Bibles. Notice here in the readings of the, see, in the 11th chapter at the 15th verse, and we'll probably read a little bit here in the 11th, 12th, and probably the 19th chapter. But anyway, let's just read a little bit here together. We're glad to have James's family back with us. He went off for a while, but I see he's got back. We're glad to have him back with us. Glad to have all of you. Appreciate you being with us so much. Brother Hollis's mother's still with us. I believe she moved down to stay this time. And that's good. I believe she's done made this home. She's staying down here with us. And others that have come to be with us, stay with us. We appreciate having you so very much. Now, let's read together the 11th chapter of the book of Revelation. The 15th verse, it reads like this. And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven, saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders which sat before God on their seats fell upon their faces and worshiped God, saying, we give Thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and was and art to come, because Thou hast taken to Thee Thy great power and hast reigned, and the nations were angry, and Thy wrath is come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that Thou shouldest give reward unto Thy servants the prophets, and to the saints, and them that fear Thy name, small and great, and shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth. And the temple of God was open in heaven, and there was seen in His temple the ark of His testament, and there were lightnings and voices and thunderings and an earthquake and great hail. Okay, now notice in the 12th chapter, in the 10th verse, and I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of His Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil has come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. Okay, let's turn over to the 19th chapter. The 19th chapter of the book of Revelation. And after these things I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are His judgments. For He hath judged the great whore which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of His servants at her hand. And again they said, hallelujah. And her smoke rose up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the four beasts fell down and worshiped God that sat on the throne, saying, amen, hallelujah. And a voice came out of the throne, saying, praise our God, all ye His servants, and ye that fear Him, both small and great. And I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thunderings, saying, hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come. And his wife hath made herself ready, and to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And he saith unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him, and he said unto me, see thou do it not, I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And I saw heaven open, and behold a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, and that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together into the supper of the great God. All right, now, if you notice here in the teachings of these things, here in the 11th chapter, it says the time of thy wrath has come. In the 12th chapter, it tells us that the strength of what Jesus did at Calvary is now in effect. The strength, the kingdom of our God, and the strength or power of his Christ has come. Then we find a little before that, we was teaching it the other night, how that in the sixth seal, when it was open, that a voice also spoke, saying, the time of thy wrath has come. And then we find in the 19th chapter of the book of Revelation, it says, the Lord reigneth. So then we see in the 19th chapter, he is already in power, he is already in rule, because it is, as we would say, several years, 3.5 years maybe, later that the 19th chapter of Revelation comes into focus, where he has already been in rule and already been in power then for quite a long while. Now, whereas in the middle of the week, it's just the time of his wrath and the time of his rewarding and the time of him taking his kingdom. The reason for that is because at that particular time, Lucifer is cast out of heaven. You remember I said the other night that when the angel went before the little golden altar, remember he took a censer, and he took that censer full of the prayers of the saints. You know, according to the Bible, every prayer that the saints of God pray is bottled up in censers, as we would say, as sweet-smelling incense before God. I remember back in the Old Testament back there when Aaron made that special kind of perfume. God told him to make this special kind of perfume and told him what to put in it. We've got some tapes here where we teach that, and we tell the elements that was put into the perfume and what kind of perfume it was. And this special kind of perfume, Aaron had to have it as he went into the holies of holies. He always had to have that perfume, and God told him, said, if any man make any perfume like unto this perfume, he'll be cut off from the tribes. The reason for that is that perfume was a type of the prayers of the saints or of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. You can't hypocrite. You can't pantomime, you can't make believe, you can't produce something that you think is salvation or holiness. It's got to be the real genuine. Aaron's sons tried to do it, and they went into the courts with strange fire, the Bible said, and God smote them for it. So then we see that all of that was a pattern or a type. Whereas Moses had caught the vision of the revelation of Jesus Christ, the same thing that John had seen, and God said, Moses, now you've been caught up. You've seen this thing. You make everything in the earth after the pattern that you saw in heaven. That is while you was in the mount. And so it was he did. He made everything just exactly in types and shadows for the Jews, because the Jews represented the veil, which was the flesh. Everything that pertained to them was to be typical. That is, it was to be allegories, or an allegoric type of what God was going to do in the future. So then, Aaron made this perfume, which represented the same thing that we're reading about tonight. Whereas when this angel took the censer, the Bible said it was filled with the prayers of the saints, bottled up as sweet-smelling incense before God. He approached the little golden altar, just exactly like Aaron did, that was outside of the Ark of the Covenant. For the Bible said the heavens was open, and the Ark of His Testament was seen, which relates back to the Lord Jesus Christ when the veil was rent in twain, that is to say, when the Spirit was separated from the body. Then the glory of God was seen. So then this little censer, he took coals, as Aaron did, from the golden altar. He dropped it into the censer. And when Aaron would do that, it would cause a great cloud of white smoke, a beautiful perfumed vapor that would just go all over Aaron and all over the Ark of the Covenant and in between the Ark of the Covenant and in between Aaron, which was the type of the Holy Ghost. You know, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ stands between my spirit and God's spirit. And if I dare enter the holies of holies without that, God would smite me dead. See, today the holies of holies are open to us. We are a royal priesthood to God. We are a high priest to God. And we go in and out into that great place. Because we're not like Aaron's sons was. Aaron's sons could go into the second court. The people could come into the first court where the big brazen altar was. Aaron's sons could go into the second court where the shewbread was and where the candlesticks was. See, which has to do with from Calvary over to America, the Catholic age. But we are bone of His bone and flesh of His flesh. We are the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. We can go boldly before the throne of God. We enter into the holies of holies. Because we are high priest unto God. He hath made us unto our God priests and kings. And we intercede for the people. So then we go in there. But we dare not go in there without the blood of the Lamb to offer for the sins of the people. We dare not to go in there. Unless we go in there, the Bible said serving God is joy. When Aaron went into that place, he jingled all over, little bells all over him, just jingled the most beautiful kind of music. Pomegranates, beautiful colors of little pomegranates hanging all over his body and linen cloths and linen breeches and holiness unto the Lord of a little mitre. All of these things, the Bible said he couldn't even sweat in them. When he would go into the presence of God, he'd take that lovely perfume and he'd go take a coal from the altar of God, he'd drop it in that incense, he'd go right in there, and then that great, beautiful conglomeration of a smell would come up before God, where the Bible said a sweet-smelling savor of Christ Jesus would come up into his nostrils. Like after the flood, when the Bible said the sweet smell came up from the earth, because Noah's flood represented the death of Jesus. I remember that they got the meat covenant after the flood. See, Jesus said, my body is meat indeed. Isn't that right? And my blood is drink indeed. Before that, they didn't have a meat covenant. The Bible said the meat is for the strong. When we go into the presence of God, we need the meat of the Word. That's what makes us strong. I like the washing of the water of the Word. I have to have it. I like that. But I like the meat of the Word, because the meat is for the strong. So then, we go into the presence of God, right into the great holies of holies. Walk right in with the prayers of the saints, with the great precious prayer of Jesus, where He said, I prayed for you. And the great presence of God, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. We don't go in there with our heads dropped down like that. You can't enter into the holies of holies going in there all sad and cast down like that. You go in there with the little bells jingling, saying, hallelujah, hallelujah. The Bible said you draw water out of the wells of salvation with joy, and serving God is joy and peace, righteousness in the Holy Ghost. You go in there praising God. Enter into my sanctuary with praise, Jesus said. Come into my courts with thanksgiving. We enter in there with praise and joy and jubilance. We go into the presence of the holies of holies. We go in there all saturated with that wonderful perfume. You know, people out in the world, they get up on Sunday morning or whenever they're going somewhere, and they spray themselves all over with perfume, and they get all spruced up every way, you know, and they put on their fine linens and everything because they're going somewhere special. And that's the way it is to us. We went into heaven. We went somewhere special, going into the presence of God, so we look our very best. And we put on our beautiful garment. The Bible said, put on thy beautiful garments, O Zion. And over here in Revelation 19, it said that, speaking of the bride of Christ, that for she hath arrayed herself in fine linen. The Bible said that beautiful white linen is the righteousness of the saints of God. You don't dare go into the holies of holies without the righteousness of Christ. You get ready to go into the holies of holies. You want to be sure that you're clothed with the garment of Christ. Paul said, put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provisions for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. You'll never go into the holies of holies without the garments of Jesus. Now you can get into the wedding supper. The Bible says that you can. And over there he asked a question. He said, how did these get in here? He said, seeing that they have not the wedding garment. And what is the wedding garment? The Bible said, I counsel of you to buy of me raiment that's tried in the fire. I have only one righteousness that I will accept. He said, I put Jesus through the flames of hell. I put him through the fire. He said, that's the garment that you're to be clothed with. Put ye on the garments of God. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. I counsel of you to buy of me raiment, he said, that's been tried in the flames of the fire. Now, but he give us that raiment. Put ye on the righteousness of God, for he was made our sins that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ. Zion, put on thy lovely garments. And the Bible said the bride had made herself ready. She had on the righteousness of the saints. The righteousness of the saints. Now let me tell you, a man can prophesy. That don't mean that he's right. Even if something he says come to pass, that still don't mean he's right. He might have hit it lucky. So you can't tell a man by prophecy. You can't tell a man by the things he says. The Bible doesn't tell us that we can. But the Bible said you can tell a child by what he does. Paul said, you have known my manner of life. What I have done during my lifetime, the way I've tried to walk, the way I've conducted myself, the things I've tried to do, my motives and means through life, Paul said. Said, you've known that. See, you can tell the child by his doings. Put on thy garments righteousness. He that is righteous, even as God is righteous. So then, we see that this angel took that censer, and he went near that little golden altar, and he reached over, he got the coals of fire, and he dropped it into the little censer. And out of that came that beautiful aroma. The Bible said lightnings and thunderings, and all of a sudden he took that. See, the saints of God had prayed, and God was fixing to answer their prayers. The Bible said the lightnings and the thunderings, he took that, he threw it down into the earth. And when it went down the earth, earthquakes, everything began to happen. I believe it was the bombs that was blowing up, and the blasts and the lightning and the thundering, all of that. I believe it was the bombs, the nuclear weapons, all of that taking place. I believe that's what it was. The wars, everything. John said, I saw the cities, the great buildings of the great cities crumble. And I believe that's what it was. I believe that 30 minutes of silence, as I said the other night, was the blood coming off the mercy seat. Notice this now. Just if that blood came off of the mercy seat, that meant everything was over for the Gentiles. The day of the Gentiles was finished. Everything was at an end. Because the blood had come off of the mercy seat. That's why the censer was thrown into the earth. The judgments of God had come. The judgments of God had come. See, Lucifer was cast out. Lucifer went out into the earth. When Lucifer went out, the great red dragon. You know, I made the statement that the blood on the atonement seat, as long as it's there, everything's all right. But remember, Jesus was made sin. His spilled blood, righteous blood, was the representation of your blood and my blood and all men's blood who had sinned against God. He had the pure blood there on the atonement seat. As long as that blood was on the atonement seat, it meant that blood life could come into the presence of God. It meant that blood life could continue in the earth in a dispensational grace. For dispensational grace is living in the presence of God. I know we don't realize that, but it is. It's heaven. It's second heaven. And as long as that blood was on the atonement seat in that second heaven, the blood on the atonement seat in the third heaven. But in the second heaven, as long as that blood was on the atonement seat, there Satan could come into the second heaven, which is just like today. All the psychiatrists, the bankers, all the businessmen, all the people of the world, some of them live like the devil, but they just continue on. God blesses them just the same. Poured out of His Spirit upon the just and the unjust. People can be just as hypocritical. God doesn't just blast them. He lets them go on. But I tell you, someday when the blood comes off of the mercy seat, the Lord will turn His wrath on all of the people of the earth. And only the righteous will be able to escape. You better get right with God while you can. Don't play around. Don't just mess around with the grace of God and use the grace of God for a cloak of maliciousness. While you got time to get that old heart straightened out, get them old thoughts straightened out, get your life straightened out, brother, do it and do it in a hurry. Because any day the blood may come off of the mercy seat. Any day it may happen. See, and as long as that blood's up there, it means that the great red dragon can be in the presence of God. And who is the great red dragon? It's people that live off of bloodline. For Satan is a spirit. He lives in the bloodstream. And the red dragon is bloodline from the first birth. That's bloodline. A corruptible life. If you die, they take you down to the morgue. The first thing they do is cut the jugular vein. They take the blood out of you. They put fluid in there to keep you from corrupting. Because blood makes you corrupt. So that's the bloodline. As long as that blood's on the mercy seat, it means that the great red dragon can be in heaven. That is, it means people with bloodline. They're bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh. They're the crooked generation. They're the generation of vipers. They're the great red dragon. And it means that they can be in the presence of God just as long as that's there. They can be there and they can have the reign. The unjust can have the reign just like the just can have the reign. But listen, friend, just as quick as the blood comes off, that means no more bloodline. Because blood, though that's holy blood, righteous blood, pure blood, yet it represents, remember Jesus was made sin, it represents blood life in the presence of God until man can change from blood life to spirit life. The purpose of it was to make a way for blood life, put pure blood in the presence of God to where God would have mercy on all blood life. By one man's sin, all men were put under sin. By one man's righteousness, all men were put under righteousness. Paul said death came by one man, so life came by one man. So this blood from one man on the atonement seat, pure blood, means that every time God looks at me and God looks at you, He sees that pure blood. And He doesn't see any sin, so He lets blood life continue on, giving us that span of mercy, giving us that day of grace, to where we can continue on till we make that change from blood life to spirit life. Well, he that is born of the flesh is flesh. He is born of the spirit is spirit. That's why I preach to you like I do. That's why I try to tell you, you've got to be spiritual. That's why I tell you it's a transformation of mind, a translation of spirit, and then the ultimate of it, a transfiguration of your body. You've got to get spiritual. Going to church won't do it, being Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, Church of God, or whatever, that ain't going to do it. Just saying I'm Pentecostal, saying I'm filled with the Holy Ghost, it won't do it. It's got to be more than that. All right, now, when this happened, it's the middle of the week. The middle of the week. Notice the sixth seal. Let's run through it real quick like now, because I've been through it one time before, but just a few things to catch up our thoughts. Here he stands in the midst of the candlesticks, the church ages, the stars in his hand, the angels, calling out the church ages, saying such and such and such unto you, which is the dispensation of time that starts from Calvary on down or from Pentecost, because from Pentecost is the church ages. That's where the church comes in. The last one is Laodicea, lukewarm, saying, I'll spew you out of my mouth. You're just a bunch of religious proselytes. Football, basketball, everything mixed with it. Sports and everything else. He said, you're just a bunch of proselytes. I'll spew you out of my mouth. I would that you were hot or cold, because you're lukewarm. I'll spew you out of my mouth. That's the last church age. Adulterous generation, sinful, hate mother and daddy. Kill mother and dad in the latter times. So then we see the last church age. And then what happens? All of a sudden at the end of the last church age, the Laodicean church age, the fourth chapter of Revelation, John said, behold, I looked and a door was open in heaven, and a voice said, come up hither, John. When he went up there, he said, I want to show you some things. John got up there and he saw the throne, and around the throne the 24 elders, and then around the inner throne within the radius of the 24 elders he saw four beasts. Around that throne he said he saw these four beasts around there, and he saw that lion, and he saw that ox, and he saw that man, and he saw that eagle. He said, and about that time he said he saw the Ancient of Days sitting there with a book in his hand that had seven seals on the backside of it, which indicated that the church ages was at an end, the last one. The Laodicean, and that the thing was finished, the church age was finished, and on the back side of it was sealed seven seals over those church ages. And then the voice said, who is worthy to open the book to loose the seal thereof and look thereupon? And the Bible said, no man in heaven, no man in earth, no man anywhere was found worthy. And John said, I wept much. And all of a sudden the voice said, weep not, John, for one hath prevailed to open the book, even the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And he said he saw this as it was a lamb coming forward, having these eyes, seven eyes, and said he saw him coming forward. But see, here he was called the Lion of the tribe of Judah, but John saw him as a lamb. Here he come up as a lamb, but the Bible said he was the Lion of the tribe of Judah. See, he just hasn't come into his kingship yet. As a lamb, he's still the atonement, still the gentle one, still giving grace, still the blood of Christ upon all people to let them get by with the things that they get by with. And brother, after a while, he's going to be a roaring lion, not like a lion as Satan is, but really a roaring lion. And the Bible said he's going to take his throne and rule with a rod of iron. So then we see, all of a sudden, he takes the book. He begins to loose the seals. One is opening the lion announces, another is opening the ox announces, another is opening the man announces, another is open, and the eagle announces it. Then another one's open. When he sees the other one, all these people under the altar. Then another one's open, which is the sixth seal, and when it's open, the Bible said the wrath of the Lord has come. The ark of his testament's open in heaven. The men run for the rocks and the mountains to hide them from the face of him that sitteth upon the throne. They throw their money to the bats. And then all of a sudden, a voice said, don't hurt anything, but I seal the servants of my God in their foreheads. About that time, the Bible says that the seventh seal was opened. Then when the seventh seal was opened, the seven trumpeters stepped up and they began to sound out. And five of them sounded and the horrible things happened. The last three, the Bible said, are the three woes. Woe. The last three of them, and between the two last woes, which is the fifth and sixth trumpet, between those and the seventh trumpet, the angel of Revelation 10 steps out with the seven thunders and declares that time shall be no more. Remember now, this happened immediately at the end of those trumpets. During the sounding of these trumpets, you'll read in the book of Revelation, it said, see that you don't hurt those that are sealed in the foreheads. Right after God sealed them and the trumpet sounded, it says, see that you don't hurt these men. Which, as I said the other night, indicate that these men are going through the tribulation. For John saw these in the earth. He said, don't hurt the earth. Then he looked, and the others he saw in heaven. For he said, these were before God's throne. They'd not hunger again. They'd not thirst again. Neither would any sunlight on them anymore. And the Lamb should lead them to fountains of living waters. For they follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. So then we see that the rapture has taken place, that the saints of God are gone from the earth. The redemption has come. The book of redemption has been opened. That book that was in the hands of the Ancient of Days with the seven seals, it was the inheritance of the saints. And opening of those seals brought about the redemption of the earth and brought about the redemption of the body. So then the change, we who become celestial, we're caught up, changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Thessalonians, last trump. What is it referring to? It's referring to the trump of God. But then in the Old Testament, we see two trumps. One trump sounded for the gathering of the people, which has to do with Jesus. The next trump sounded for the march of the people into battle, which has to do with Christ, on with Christian soldier, marching at the war. You understand what I'm saying? With the cross of Jesus going on before. So then we see the next trump is for the resurrection of the dead, which is the second trump. One is to Calvary. One is to God's service. The next is to rise from the grave. The last trump to be resurrected. So then the seventh trump, the last angel messenger, it means that when he blasted out his trump, it's the end of the world because it coincides also with that second trump. That's why the angel intervenes just before that, saying the mysteries of God shall be finished when this angel sounds. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. What is the trump of God? It's the voice of Jesus. God has never had but one way to express himself. Is that right? Have you got time to listen? The trump of God is Jesus' voice. Lift up thy voice like a trumpet. So he shall descend from heaven with the trump of God and the voice of the archangel. Descend with a shout, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. We who are alive and remain shall be changed, caught up with them in the air to meet the Lord. So shall we ever be with the Lord. That is to ride over the tribulation period. So we see when the sixth seal is open, we see the sealing. We see this rapture. We see these around the throne. Then when the seventh seal is open, we see the trumpeters and all of them sound to the angel intervening between the sixth and seventh trump, which is the second and third woe, or the sixth and the seventh trump. Now, when the last trump sounds, immediately the two prophets are recognized. Immediately, the middle of the week comes. Immediately, the voice said, the kingdom of this world has become the kingdom of our God. Immediately, Israel comes into recognition because she's been sealed. Immediately, the middle of the week, the man-child caught up to the throne, which means Israel becoming the head of the nation. and the natural membership of Israel becoming the head of the nation for the government through the millennium, and the natural Jesus himself, who's been made a quickening spirit, coming back to his natural body, which is his natural people, where they'll receive him. And they'll say, "Where did you get the nails?" "Is that in the house of my friends?" And a nation shall be born in a day because they'll accept Jesus. Then we see this. In that they receive the Lord, all of a sudden, up goes the man-child, out comes Lucifer. Then the blood comes off of the mercy seat, and the lightning and the thunderings and the earth, because the vial is slung into the earth. The 30-minute silence in heaven. Now has come the time of his wrath. Why? The blood is off of the mercy seat. Now has come the time of his wrath. When the sixth seal opened, it was the end of the world. It was Calvary, but it just now being made effective in the end of the world. So then, now has come the time of his wrath, when the sixth seal is open. Transfer it on over to the 12th chapter, the war in heaven, Lucifer cast out, and the voice again says, "Thy wrath is come." Then it says, "Salvation is come, strength is come, the power of thy strength. Oh Christ, it's come." Now, the accuser of the brethren can no longer hide in the spirit and be a hypocrite. All of the proselytes and hypocrites, which are not stars but reflectors, all from heaven, their evil, vile, wretched nature shows up. They can't hide it any longer. The devil begins to lure them, call them out, to draw them to himself. And only those that have the great, loving Holy Spirit can resist him. The others can't. They're drawn to him, fascinated by him. They can't hold their temper any longer. They can't hold their lust any longer. They can't hold their passions and desires and ambitions any longer. So they're drawn to him and they let go. They let go. But them that have the precious, wonderful infilling of God's Spirit, the Bible said they keep themselves, and that evil one toucheth them not. For he hath sealed them. So then we see this. Immediately out of the waters, as I said the other night, here comes Lucifer. He went out into the people, among the people. He finds that man he's looking for. Into him he goes. He personifies himself. He comes up out there. And then he begins his evil reign. He immediately kills the prophets. For the prophets have been among Israel, teaching Israel. Israel has been tutored. Israel has been taught. During all this time, God has sealed them to where they can be taken care of. And the prophets have been teaching and tutoring them. And then Satan kills those. The Antichrist kills those. Just as quick as Lucifer gets into power, they torment him and he kills them. Then the great earthquake in Jerusalem, and the Bible said immediately a voice speaks from heaven and says, "Blessed are they that die in Christ from henceforth, because they refuse to take the mark of the beast." And then immediately after that, remember what I said, here great Babylon is fallen. For God reserves seven more things. After the trumpeters have sounded, I didn't get to clear this up the other night very good, and I'd like to take just a few minutes on tonight. But after that the trumpeters have sounded, there's seven things that's yet left. All of this other happened before Antichrist ever came into power, before Lucifer was ever cast out of heaven, and even the star that fell coming to the bottomless pit. Even that, even though that star fell from heaven and it came down having the keys to the bottomless pit, yet Lucifer himself had not personified himself. The pit was opened up. The locust came out. The darkness, all of the air was darkened by reason of the locust. I brought it out the other night. Gross darkness covering the people. Intellectual reasoning. The spirit of Satan. The darkness, like the glory of God's Spirit, it filled the train of the temple in the days of Solomon. It's like unto the white smoke. See, but the dark smoke, the dark clouds, is like unto Satan. You understand what I'm saying? The smoke, the darkness, his spirit. It covered the earth as it came out, and the locust was interwoven with that spirit of evil. Intellectual powers, great giants of intellectual power and money power, prestige and ability, doctors and dentists and bankers and all kind of great men of the earth, men in show business and all kind of people, controlled by the powers of Lucifer, great sportsmen. Now, at the middle of the week, that voice, Lucifer goes out, that voice begins to cry just a little bit. And the angel flies through the heaven saying the everlasting gospel to preach to them that dwell on the earth. Then the seven last plagues, the Bible said of the awful things that's reserved just for Antichrist, just to pour out on Antichrist and on the people that receive the mark of the beast, all of them that receive the mark of the beast and on the seed of Antichrist, these seven last plagues are the seven last angels. God, the seven last vials to pour out on the earth, pour out in the air. No doubt the bombing that's taken place and all of these other things, the follow-up of those seven angels, the Bible said they poured out a vial in the air. No doubt the bombing and all of this other stuff that just took place before the last seven angels come forth is probably all of this fallout, radioactive fallout and everything that's in the air. Death is in the air everywhere. And no doubt that's what it's referring to. And then darkness because the sun goes into a nova. All of these things and darkness fills the kingdom of Antichrist and the stars fall from heaven. All of these things begin to happen. See, and they begin to gnaw their tongues as they did down in Egypt because of the darkness, because of the evil. And then Babylon is fallen, the kingdom of the Antichrist. That thing that he's built that's so great and powerful, it begins to crumble. It's thrown down like a great millstone. And then the Bible said New Jerusalem comes into view. New Jerusalem, that's you and I. That's the lively stones that's been caught up before the tribulation. Those stones that are oh so precious, that's built up into that cornerstone through Paul, the wise master builder's teaching. Founded upon the foundation of the 12 apostles. Here adorned by the beautiful pearly gates of the allegoric teachings of the entrance of the Old Testament into these foundations and in amongst these great jewels. Heading up into that capstone, the great pillar of light. Then immediately, Revelation 19 comes. And here we all come back on white horses. We come back to the supper. We have the supper. That is, the supper of Christ is when we slaughter everybody. And we call for the buzzards and we call for the eagles and we call for every fowl of the earth to come and eat the flesh of great men and kings and all of those things. That's the supper of the Lord. How do you know that? And then we rule and reign with Him for 1,000 years, more than 10 lifetimes. Celestial. We are celestial while the Jews are building and eating and drinking, having the natural earth. Here we are celestial in the powerful regime of priesthood and still able to eat and drink. And then at the end of that 1,000 years, the Bible said that Satan, who we bound in the pit for 1,000 years at the beginning of it, Revelation 19, Antichrist, who we threw in the fire with all them and took the mark of the beast. At the end of that 1,000 years, here comes Lucifer up. He's loose for a little season out of that pit. He comes back up. He gathers together the seed of Gog and Magog, comes up against Jerusalem. The Bible said fire comes down out of heaven, devours him, just like Peter said, the elements being on fire. And then all of a sudden, the ocean gives up its dead, the sea gives up its dead, the graves give up their dead. Until that time, the wicked dead has not come forth. The wicked dead has been in the sea, the wicked dead has been in the graves. All through that millennium earth, which is the earth out here that's restored to the garden, underneath there, still all of those people buried. For we shall tread the ashes of the wicked under our feet. For the day shall come, the Bible said, when they shall utterly be burned up. And God shall not leave anything of them. So then we see the great celestial coming in. And then the Ancient of Days sitting on the throne, coming down from heaven. When the mountains flee away, when the sea flees away, when the earth flees away, when everything is gone. And nothing can stand before Him except You who are the celestial people of God, those that He's made into His own image, the great white throne of judgment to start that celestial world. But let's get back just for a thought. I just run that through to clear it all up. Coming back to our thought here in the middle of the week at the rapture, we're getting close to it right now. All the trouble, everybody's gathering together now. The Chinese problems over yonder, everything is getting just right for it. For the rapture and for the tribulation period, scientists' prediction, everything, everybody's trouble, Laodicean church age, everything is just right for it. Now, remember that when Lucifer comes out of heaven, the saints of God go up. That's what causes him to come out.
Amen.
That means that there won't be any more mercy. There won't be any more grace to them that dwell on the earth. Only those that have been sealed during that period will be able to stand against the evils and wiles of Satan and Antichrist. Are you following me? Now has come salvation. Now has come strength. Now, I wish we had time to go into this and break some of it down right along here, but I know we don't. It's to take too much time, but let me say just a few words and I'll close. First of all, I've taught this to you in a spiritual perspective. I brought it over to the woman on the moon, which is America, the catching up of the man-child, the red dragon of China, communist power, all those things where the communist dragon was waiting to get the man-child. And you saw how that Jimmy, who was likened to the man-child, turned to communism, and communism is about devouring him. The red dragon, China. But he's going to escape because he's going to rise up. And I said, you watch him. And all of that tenderness he one time had, it won't be that way. He'll rise up. I said, and he'll overrule the government. He'll overrule everybody. He'll raise up with a rod of iron and say, you do this or else. Now, and that's what's going to save him when he rises up like that. That's when China's going to go out. That's when China's going to know that they can't make it into the UN. Be cut off from the UN. All the nations. That's really going to upset China. But remember this one thing. That's only a spiritual perspective of it, because the true perspective of it is they will gather together against God's Israel and against God's spiritual Israel, which is the church, and which is that natural Israel that I said some wrote us just recently, five more, wanting our tapes over there. God keeps opening a door over there in Bethlehem and in that area. But anyway, right at this time, we see that the great red dragon, in doing that, if the woman had her feet on the moon, if the child has been born as far as a spiritual perspective, then the natural part of it is just about ready to come around. That means in the spiritual perspective, you've moved over to the middle of the week. That means that the sounding of the last trump has come forth. That means that the mysteries of God are being finished. That means that the revelation of Christ Jesus, which is the coming of the Lord Himself, is at hand. But in the natural, as far as the thing actually taking place, I said the other night, I have to differ with some of them about it, the way they look at it, because the seven trumpets don't even sound until after the sixth seal is opened, which is the end of the world and the coming of the Lord. So I don't agree with them when they talk about the seven angel messengers the way they teach it, because it don't bear out with the Bible. That means to me that maybe you won't agree with me, but I agree with what I understand of God and what God understands of me. We agree. And what I see agrees with the Scripture. And that's the main thing. But I believe this with all of my heart, that we are right now at the end of the world. I don't believe anybody would dispute that that's in their right mind, that understands godly things. But we are at the end of the world. And my trip down into South America, I wish we could enlarge upon it, elaborate upon it. But my trip down into South America has to do with the resurrection of the dead. It has to do with that. And when this trip is finished, and we get back here, from then on out, it's going to be dangerous times. Because there's no doubt about what it shows. We went through it in Revelation with the Spirit of God. And there's no doubt about what it shows. And in that it shows what I understand that it shows. Then that means it's going to be dangerous times. When we come back, if you haven't prepared your heart, you need to start doing it right now. Before we take the trip. You need to get everything right. Because we're living in perilous times right now. Dangerous times right now. And people are at that very point of the vision where the Bible spoke of them throwing their money to the bats. They're ready to give it up to the blind now. Did you know that? They're ready to give it up to the blind now. Them that can't see, them that can see are ready to give it up to them that can't see right now. They're ready to throw their money to the bats. And they're ready to try to get right with God. They're saying it all over the different parts of the world. And in the vision I saw, they turned away from their fine home. They turned away from their businesses. They turned away from their fine automobiles. They turned away from everything. And turned to look at the little group of people that was arrayed in those beautiful garments. That was standing there that was ready to be translated. Which was a minority. Considering the great majority of people. So if you're not right with God, if you don't understand what I'm saying, I don't have time to go into it, just keep on breaking it down in the areas of the middle of the week and the rapture. But I wanted in these two sermons to give you a complete overlay or outlook on the book of Revelation to where you could fit it together in your mind and understand when you go to read it, what you're reading and what he's talking about, what it means. And then it'll break down to you more and more. And as God will allow us to, we'll break it down to you more and more. But it's a sad time. It's a very sad time. Now that I'm thankful for you to be out here with us, I believe today is the last day of winter as far as the winter months. I believe that's right. Tomorrow, first day of March. December, January, February, that's the end of the winter. That's winter months. And even though in our country it's not officially over until about the 21st of March, and sometimes it's a little chilly on up to Easter. The winter months are gone. Today's the last day. So we're heading for spring now, because March is a spring month. Now let's everybody pray, and as I ask you at the beginning of the service, I trust that you really meant what you said when you said that you were going to start the spring with a greater endeavor, a greater light, a greater determination to do something for Jesus. I trust that you meant that. Pray for the radio programs. Pray for the TV programs. Pray for the outreach by literature. If they're getting as far down as Anniston, Alabama, there's no telling how far they're getting it. And this lady gave the report that she got it in Anniston, Alabama, and she really enjoyed it. From Channel 4 to 6, she said, out of Atlanta. And there's no telling how far they're getting it. It's supposed to go as far as Birmingham. And maybe farther, I don't know. But let's just pray and ask God to strengthen the outreach of those programs we were on, and bless it, do something special, and help us in our Harvester Herald outreach, because I want to do something for Jesus. And on the South American trip, pray that God will make it possible that doors will be open to where I can step through those doors and preach the gospel to people in South America, places where some of them don't know anything about Jesus. A lot of people down there are Catholic people. And they don't know anything about baptism in the name of Jesus. It's just Catholic country. And I say this again, and say it Paul or along, 12 million people, which they tell me is more than there is in New York. There's only about 10 million, I believe. So you pray that God will help us to get into the hearts of those people, and I believe that He will. And give us some mass meetings down there. To where we can do something for Jesus. You that are going with us, I want you to pray and fast. And to keep your heart straight and be on your job while you're there. I'm glad that Brother Atlanem's got their tickets now. And Brother Gary, to you that come in late, Brother Gary brought in the tickets for Brother Atley and Sister Beachy. And we sent them back there to them a few minutes ago. And they're ready to take their trip. We're ready, and some of the others are getting ready. So you pray for them. Maybe if you can't go this trip, you can go next trip. Some of you are going to meet us in Jamaica, I feel sure. But until then, you pray for us here. Let's stand together. I really appreciate you. I appreciate everything that you have done. When you pray for us, I appreciate it. Because we have to have your prayers. It's your prayers and your efforts that help to make a way for us to be able to go into some of the foreign countries and do the things that we do. Try to come to church. You know, you may stay away one night, and that very night, you will not have a chance to hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. So if you don't come that night, that means that you miss out. If you want to hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches, you've got to listen. You've got to listen real close. Now, if you can't hear what the Spirit says, then you're not a spiritual person. The Bible says, my sheep know my voice. If you're spiritual, then you can hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And every night we come together, the Spirit is trying to say something. Brother Pike might say many things, but during that period of speaking, the Spirit of God is trying to say something to the church. Because it's what the Spirit saith unto the churches that's going to make you ready for the rapture. Put on thy beautiful garments, Zion. We need to get ready. Get ready. If you're not ready, then we need to get ready. Be also ready, the Bible said, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. Let's sing the little chorus together. You need to break up the fallow ground. Being hard-hearted. Some of you are so hard-hearted. Some of you mothers, you're so set in your ways and so hard-hearted. Some of you young girls, some of you daddies, some of you young boys. You're so hard-hearted and so set in your ways. The Bible said, harden not your heart as they did in the days of the provoking of God, and which he called the provocation in the days of the wilderness. For God was grieved, the Bible tells us, with that generation, and he sware in his wrath that they should not enter into his rest. He tells us in the Word that we're not to be high-minded, not to think more highly of ourselves than we ought to keep our minds off of ourselves, keep our minds on the Holy Spirit, look on the things of the other, esteem others better than ourselves. Let our labor be for the cause of another, to help another, and to not for the cause of ourselves. Submitting ourselves one to another, in that we do this, we do it unto Christ, to the body of the Lord Jesus. To love one another with all respect. Men are to love the sisters with all purity, all respect. Sisters are to love the brethren with all purity and all respect. And the Bible teaches that should any evil thoughts enter into our mind one toward another, that God will turn us into the flames of hell for it. Every thought must be brought into subjection to the obedience of Jesus Christ. Casting down imagination and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Jesus Christ, meditating in his laws day and night. Thoughts of hardness, thoughts of bitterness, thoughts of lust, thoughts of covetousness, thoughts of resentment, thoughts of jealousy, thoughts of gossip, thoughts of backbiting, thoughts of surmising, thoughts of human reasoning, thoughts of lust of every kind are demons and devils. The Bible said, let the women be grave. Let them be grave, not gigglers. Not laughing, chatting with every man that comes along, but sober, grave, holding their spirits not allowing their spirits to go out to men. And men be grave and sober, not laughing and giggling with every woman, but that their spirits should be held back, and their spirits should not go out to one another, because that is adultery and that is fornication. And God will burn you in hell for that, for God is a spirit. And God is interested in your spirit on the inside.